I'll go ahead and begin. As you start walking through the Psalms, you'll find Psalm 1 begins to lay a little bit of a foundation on what is a happy life, what is a blessed life. It lays the foundation concerning the Christian life and what it ought to look like and how it ought to be lived out and what it ought to begin to reveal. And so as you walk through Psalm 1, there's much to be said there. And the very first word is that word blessed in Psalm 1. As it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, so it speaks of the happiness of the man and the delights that he finds in his life. As you go and you begin to walk through the Psalms, you come to not only Psalm 1, but it's a psalm of tranquility. It begins to lay a little foundation in Psalm number 2. It goes from something that is so sweet and something that is so precious to now something that is hostile. Something concerning the enemies. It begins to reveal some stuff that is going on. You then come to Psalm 3 and it begins to provide some stability as it says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for God or for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Oh, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Psalm 1 begins to lay foundation of what a happy life looks like. And so if you're walking through the Psalms, you'll find that in Psalm 1, you get a burden to live for the Lord. You get a burden to honor him and to be happy in your living. And so you begin to put some principles in place so that you can be that blessed Christian, that blessed one who is happy in the ways of the Lord. But as you're serving the Lord and you walk to Psalm 2, you'll find that there's enemies that are lurking around. And there's a struggle. There's those who don't want to see the work of God going forward. And so you might get a little discouraged. But then in Psalm 3, you're reminded that there's going to be those times where enemies will be around. You'll begin to realize that there's trials, but God is still there. There's a trusting that must take place. And there's a triumph as he says, I will not be afraid. Well, why are you not going to be afraid? Because in verse number 3, he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Oh, as you walk through Psalm 1, 2, and 3, it begins to picture the entire Christian life. You get a burden to do what the Lord desires for you to do, and then all of a sudden you're serving the Lord and the enemy's right there, and you might get discouraged, and then you're reminded once again in the midst of his word that he's still there. He's still faithful, and he still desires to work. And so the first three psalms begin to lay such a great foundation moving forward as we continue on. You come to Psalm 5 after all of what we've just seen. In Psalm 5, we begin to realize that after Psalm 4, where it says in verse number 7 of Psalm 4, thou hast put gladness in my heart, and there ought to be a gladness within our heart, that Psalm 5 is going to begin to reveal that we have a voice. And I ask you tonight, what are you using your voice for? As you begin to think about your voice, that is something that not everyone has. And yet far too often we take it for granted. You know exactly what I mean. There are some that are not able to speak, but there are those moments in our lives where the simplest of things can frustrate us. You ever been trying to have a conversation on the phone and your voice isn't there? And you get annoyed. You get frustrated because you can't speak and it's raspy and they can't understand you. And we get frustrated. And we go about our days and we neglect to use our voice for the right things. In Psalm 5, he says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. This entire psalm is going to begin to deal with our voice. And he says in verse number 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So in verse number 1 on down to verse number 3, you begin to see him begin to talk about his voice as he is crying out to the Lord. And as you consider what you're using your voice for tonight, can I encourage you, if you don't have a prayer life, it's time that, number 1, we start using our voice to speak to our God. To speak to our God. I'm not just talking about speaking about the things that we need or the problems that we have. We know those things, and you know that will work its way in. But again, as we continuously, every week, the last couple of weeks, emphasize this, that there ought to be more to going and spending time in prayer to our God than just asking Him for things. It ought to be a time where you go to Him and you just dwell in His presence and you begin to commune and say, I just want to talk to you. I just want to hear your, begin to deal with me, Lord. I just want to allow you to hear your child come to you and reveal that you are a good God, that you are a gracious God, and that I desire to speak to you. And so you begin to realize in verse 1, 2, and 3 that He says His voice in speaking and talking to His God. Notice in verse 1, He says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider, notice these next words, my meditation. Meditation is a very powerful tool in the Christian life. You see, every single day there are events that take place, there are circumstances, there are good things, there are bad things, and what you meditate on oftentimes determines your countenance. You want to meditate and think on the things that are going on and the things that are bad and the problems, then you'll oftentimes become a little agitated, a little annoyed, a little frustrated. You begin to meditate on the Word of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God, and you go on and you look at all of the attributes of our God and you meditate on those, and you'll find that there are certain times whenever you endure those things, those problems, and you say, you know what, I'm not concerned because God will bring me through. Why? Because you've been meditating on the right things. The psalmist begins to reveal that he had been meditating. But then he goes on in verse number 2, he says, hearken unto the voice of, notice this next word, my cry. You see, the psalmist is making this very personal. In verse 1, he says, Lord, hear me as I begin to reveal the things that I've been thinking on. My meditation. In verse number 2, he says these words, hearken unto the voice of my cry. In verse number 3, he's going to go on and say, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct, notice this word, my prayer unto thee. So all of these things, he is saying, my, and my, as he is revealing to the Lord what he's thinking on, what he's crying about, and who he's praying to. As you consider his voice, he is saying, my voice is going to come and speak to the Lord. We have a great opportunity every single day to use our voice. There are times whenever you need to speak up about something. There are times whenever you're going about your day and you're using your voice and maybe you're talking about things you ought not be talking about. Can I share with you, in that moment, you've wasted your voice. Those opportunities that Brother Tony was just talking about, that opportunity that he took just to invite someone, Brother Joe sharing that in the park, he just invited a family using his voice. Can I share with you, that was wise time to use your voice. And there were some wise words, I want to invite you to come to church. As you think about your voice, you begin to walk on down in this passage of Scripture in not only our voice in speaking to our God, but our voice in stating our purpose. You see, every single one of us has a purpose. You're not going to find that purpose if you go about the world's ways and the world's philosophies. If you try to find purpose in the job, you'll find that it does not bring any purpose. You find try to find purpose in an activity, you'll find that it does not bring any purpose. But when you begin to yield your life to God and you say, Lord, I want to find my purpose in your will, all of a sudden you find your purpose. God begins to reveal his purpose within your life as you yield it to him. And so the psalmist here in verse number 4 on down begins to reveal his voice and speaking about his purpose. He says in verse number 4, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. As you go and you walk through the Psalms and you go and you cross over to the Proverbs, you'll find that the Psalms begin to deal with what we ought to do oftentimes, the way our lives ought to be lived out. And as you go to the Proverbs, you'll find a lot of wisdom in the things that you should not be doing, the things that you should not be participating in, the conversations that you should not having. And so as you walk into this passage of Scripture, verse number 4, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speaketh leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Notice verse number 7, though. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Speak plain if you would. Make it obvious if you would. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. The psalmist begins to reveal in stating his purpose. The first purpose was to worship the Lord. Can I share with you, we have a purpose to worship God. If you have no desire to worship God, then your priorities are misplaced. If it's not a thought on your mind that you need to begin to start thinking on the spiritual matters of your life, and one of those ought to be that you desire to worship God. You desire to worship Him as you come to the house of God. You desire to worship Him in your workplace. You desire to worship Him in your home. You desire to worship Him in the private places of your life as you get alone with God and just worship Him. But he goes on in verse number 8, he says this, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, not only to worship God, but to walk with the Lord." You see, there are many times whenever there are counseling sessions, there are conversations that are had, there are some times where someone will ask me something, and I've heard it time and time again from even other pastors that oftentimes the advice is always the basic stuff. Get in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Do this and this. Where are those areas? Well, they're non-existent. Well, that's probably why you're struggling. You see, as you go back to anything in life, you'll find that the foundation has to be laid. It has to be laid. You go to English. Right this very moment, we are working with our kids, and if you were to ask Holly, don't ask her tonight because she'll probably get it wrong, but if you were to ask her, A-E-I-O-U, and you begin to say, what is A? What's it sound like? And she says, ah. What does U sound like? She'll tell you. What does I sound like? What does E sound like? She'll tell you those things. And the foundation is being laid for that right there. If you go and you look at it from an athletic standpoint, you'll find that oftentimes when a coach is chewing a team out, in basketball, if he's chewing his team out, oftentimes he is harping on the foundational things, the basic things, the rebounding, the boxing out, the layups that were missed, the free throws that were... Why? Because those are fundamental things. So why is it that as we begin to think and consider the importance of all of those many things, whether it is in math, whether it is in English, whether it is education, or whether it is athletics, whether it is your job, whenever they bring you in and they say, hey, you're going to go through some training because you got to be trained on how to do this job. We say, oh, it's essential. Well, if those things are essential, then why is the daily reading of God's Word and the daily prayer life not essential? Why is it something that we do not give ourselves to? Why do we not make an emphasis on walking with the Lord? You see, the many dangers of living the Christian life in the sense of going to church, and oftentimes when we get into this rut or routine, one of the dangers is that we know what to say and how to say it. And we do such a good job at it. And we go about our days and it sounds good and it sounds spiritual. Yet conviction sets in when we leave the house of God because we know that all of what we said is a lie. And we go about our days, and we live in our ways, and we do what we want to do, and all the while the Lord is saying, you might have fooled them, but you haven't fooled me. Walking with the Lord. You want to be a happy Christian, the desire to worship Him and walk with Him. He says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. He's going to worship the Lord. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. I want to walk with you. But in verse number 9, go on, he says these words. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. He recognizes wickedness for wickedness. We understand what sin is. We understand when we see an unsaved soul, we understand what it looks like. And he's motivated by this. As you walk down this psalm, he's motivated not only to worship God and to walk with God, but to win others to Christ. You know, I wonder within every single one of our lives, do you have a desire to win others to Christ? There's something special about it. Last couple of weeks, really the last couple of months, my daughter has been asking questions about getting saved, and we have been working with her. A couple of the teachers who have her in classes have come to us. And I'm thrilled that the Lord is dealing with her on this subject matter already, and she's asking all these questions, and Lord willing, there's going to come a time when I'm going to be able to stand behind this pulpit and say, I want to share some news with our church. And I'm going to be able to bring my daughter up on the platform and say that Holly accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I believe that's going to happen. And I'm grateful for it. And can I share with you that as I begin to rejoice in one day my daughter getting saved, that there are opportunities whenever we go out and we have conversations that we ought to rejoice in others getting saved. The good news of the gospel is still working. It's good to have Brian here with us tonight. And just a couple of weeks ago, Brian accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Been coming faithfully to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesdays. I'm glad to see it. And I understand and recognize that along the journey, I would not be here if there were not people who pulled me aside and said, I rejoice with you in your salvation. But that's just the beginning. There's so much more. The psalmist says we have a voice in our calling out or speaking to our Savior. We have a voice in speaking of our purpose. And then finally tonight, we have a voice in shouting our praise that is due Him already. He says in verse number 11, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also love Thy name, be joyful in Thee. For Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. Every single day of our lives, we have a voice that we're using. And the more that time goes on, the more I want to be conscious that my voice needs to be used wisely. Can I share with you, there are some conversations you just don't need to be involved in. There are some arguments you just don't need to take part in. There are some discussions that you just don't need to give your time and energy to. But as you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom in using my voice and help me to be wise in making these decisions. A couple of years ago, I started taking care of my voice a little bit more. Twice a year, I typically will get to where my voice is a little raspy. Usually it's in the spring and then also in the fall at some time. And it happens just about every year. It has not happened yet, but I know it will. And probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, I can't remember when this was. And those of you in the church will remember that it was not an uncommon thing to see a Pepsi or a sweet tea in my hand. Because I just love Pepsi and I love sweet tea. But I found out that those things were destroying my vocal cords. And I would get done preaching on a Sunday morning and I would be in pain on Sunday evening trying to preach. My voice would be going out. It'd get strengthened up throughout the week and then Wednesday it would be hurting again. And I found out by talking to other preachers and individuals that it was because the sugar that I was intaking in those drinks. The Pepsi and the sweet tea and all that. I mean, it was just tearing my voice up. And so I went for 1 year and stopped drinking those things. And every once in a while, I'll pick a sweet tea up or pick a Pepsi up, but I've lost the desire and I've lost the craving for some of those things. Because I found that there's so much more joy in being able to stand behind the pulpit and not be frustrated with my voice and be able to preach the word than to be able to experience just a little bit of pleasure of that drink for just a minute. And I have realized that the eternal matters of life will always outweigh the temporal things. And as you come to this passage of Scripture, we're reminded that our voice is a very precious thing. These young boys that are sitting on the front row are learning valuable lessons as they're growing in the Lord on their voice and how powerful it is. Because the things that they say are the things that soon they will say. And the things that they say are the things that those in the nursery will say. And can I share with you that the things that we're saying are the things that they will say. So your voice, mom and dad, is very powerful. You want to create a teen, or rather create a teen, not create a teen, they're here. But encourage a teen to be a happy Christian, then be happy in your home. Start by using your voice. You want to encourage your young person or other individuals that are around you to be thankful unto the Lord, then use your voice and speak of thanksgiving. Every single day, you are using your voice. And I have to ask the question that I asked myself today. How am I using my voice? How are you using your voice, and are you using it for the Lord? The psalmist says, once again, my voice shalt thou hear. Verse number 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Verse number 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Now let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Lord, we do come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the power of our voice. Lord, how are we using it? Lord, I pray that you would be with the young people, Lord, as they go to their schools. I pray that they would be a voice of hope, a voice of compassion, a voice of joy, not a voice of discouragement, not a voice that is a negative voice, and not a voice of ungratefulness. I pray for the moms and dads, the individuals that are in here, every single one of us, Lord, that our voice would be used wisely. We wouldn't say things that need not to be said by a Christian. We wouldn't have conversations that don't need to be had by a Christian. We wouldn't engage in arguments that we really don't need to waste our voices on. But Lord, we'd give ourselves and yield our voices to you. And I pray that you'd give us wisdom concerning this matter. And Lord, may we pray. May we praise. And may we proclaim. I pray, Lord, that we would recognize your goodness tonight and be wise with our voice. And we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray.